folks, Constitution Day has come and gone, but there's still time to receive your free copy of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence from my friends at Hillsdale College. So what are you waiting for? Grab your free copy at dana4hillsdale.com today. Hillsdale's goal is to give away 1 million copies to Americans who don't have one. And if you already have a copy, why not get one for someone you know doesn't have a copy? Every American, young and old, should read these documents because liberty depends on we the people knowing the basic principles of free government. And given the state of our nation, it's more critical than ever for citizens to read and understand these founding documents. So to claim your own free copy or to give one away, visit dana4hillsdale.com. The form is simple, and you'll receive your booklet by mail without paying shipping. The offer expires in just a few days, so reserve your copy at dana4hillsdale.com today. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
Everyone knows why they did it. May not say it, but everyone knows why they did it. They didn't, those tax years, that involved the president. It's one thing to have a gun charge in Delaware. That doesn't involve the president of the United States. But Burisma, oh my, that goes right to the White House. We can't have that. And we can slow walk this thing along. We can even extend the statute of limitations, and then we can intentionally let it lapse. And we know this investigation was slow. Here's what everyone said. Shapley said, DOJ slow walked the investigation. Ziegler, slow walking in the approvals of everything. This happened at the Delaware's attorney's office and DOJ tax level. Mr. Sobosinski, the FBI agent, said, I would have liked to see things move faster. Ms. Holly said the same. Every witness we've talked to said this thing was slow walked, and we know why. They slow walked it long enough to let the statute of limitations run so they wouldn't have to get into Burisma.
Well, true. And it, what's even more telling, and I was actually reading something from Jonathan Turley on this as well. He was tweeting about this. The reason that you have Weiss, who's appointed as the special prosecutor in this, is so that if he's special prosecutor, then guess what? He doesn't have to come over, and he doesn't have to testify to Congress. He doesn't have to go before Congress and testify on anything. And there was at one point in the hearing today, and I was trying to remember how he said it exactly, when Merrick Garland was testifying, there was one point where he had said that Weiss would file his report, like they would be able to get more answers, etc., when Weiss filed his report. And that stood out because that meant, I mean, by the time the report is filed, I think what Legal Eagles are saying is that it would be potentially even after the election. And so if that's after, I mean, that's quite a long time. So that whole period, they wouldn't be able to question Weiss. They wouldn't be able to ask Weiss anything. So that was very, there's some interesting stuff happening in this hearing. So welcome to the show. Top of the first hour this Wednesday, and Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast, and you can also stream the show on YouTube, Facebook, always good discussion on YouTube, and you can also watch the simulcast on Channel 347, DirecTV. All right, so this hearing's ongoing. Merrick Garland's being questioned now. And like I said, I thought that was interesting I think it was Daryl Issa that may have been asking the question. I'm going through my mental Rolodex because this all was just happening. And that's when he had said, well, the report, or maybe it was before him. I think it was a representative, maybe a different representative. But it was asked about Weiss questioning him. Oh, when he files the report, which would be at the end of the investigation. And I think, Kane, one of the things that McCarthy had said when he was on the program before, and this is what Turley had intimated when he was tweeting about this, is that I mean, my gosh, it's like after election. Yeah. So Weiss is protected from questioning because he's the special prosecutor. And then if he doesn't have anything, filing anything until, I mean, goodness, the conclusion of the whole shebang, that's not just after election, that's way after election. Woo, a lot of stuff here. A lot of stuff here. So this has been, I think the line of, I always, whenever Democrats ask questions, that's like my cue to go and get more coffee or something. Because their line of questioning is so stupid. Hank Johnson. He immediately goes in and he starts asking him, he's not asking a question. He makes a speech about Clarence Thomas. Yeah, he makes a speech about Clarence. Oh, and then he starts in on Jared Kushner. He starts in on Jared Kushner. Then he makes a speech about Clarence Thomas. I know. So smart, that one. I didn't even listen to what's-his-face. Fartswell. I didn't even hear his question because I literally did get up and go do something. I was like, oh, here's my cue. This is going to be a stupid 2 minutes. I'm going to get up. But because they never ask questions designed to answer any of the queries from taxpayers, they don't ask questions because they're interested in covering up. They're not interested in getting any answers, for crying out loud. So whenever they go up, whenever it's a Democrat's turn, I'm like, oh, for the love, here we go. This is gonna be a couple minutes of your life that you can't get back. Whew. Now. Speaking of government, if you get the emailed newsletter, which you should go and subscribe. Did you guys see one of the things that I had at the top of this? Because I have a bunch of hodgepodge on my list that's just government related, but it runs the gamut of a million different things. But it's a hodgepodge of stuff. And this was one of the things at the top. The DHS has established a spooky Homeland Intelligence Experts group comprised of people who lied under oath. Now, that's what it's called. It's called the Homeland Intelligence Experts Group. What does the Homeland Intelligence Experts Group do, you might ask? Great question. They handle national security issues. And who is it that is on the Homeland Intelligence Experts Group? Who's on that? Oh, well, you might find this interesting. So John Brennan is on this. Now, remember, John Brennan was the head of the CIA. And I'm looking up all of my notes on John Brennan. Because, see, John Brennan was, well, he lied his head off. Lied his head off. Not just lied his head off. He lied under oath. I have a piece all the way back from July of 2014 where the Washington Post, you know, that conservative cornerstone, the Washington Post actually ran a headline, quote, Obama should fire John Brennan. He had to apologize to leaders of the Senate Intelligence Committee because he was spying on everybody. He was spying on them. So he had to apologize to everybody. He lied. He lied under oath. He went under oath and he lied. Nothing ever happened to him for that. Nothing. I mean, even Dianne Feinstein was like, this is shady. He's acting spooky. Which, you know, is normal for a CIA guy, but I mean, this is shady stuff. Even she was saying this, but no. So he is on, wait a minute, the name of it again. He is on the Homeland Intelligence Experts Group. He's on that. So who else, you might ask? Well, James Clapper, who is the former director of National Intelligence. He lied to Congress and testified falsely that the Obama administration doesn't collect the telephone records of people. He's not spying. He perjured himself. He was under oath. I mean, there's photos of him with his hands up. He was the top spooky dude. One of them. He lied under oath. And then he said, oh, quote, I made a mistake. He was talking about the domestic surveillance programs. Oh my gosh, he says he didn't lie. Now, Kane notes that John Brennan he's particularly grumpy because Trump stripped him of his security clearance. This was back in 2018. So he's hella mad, right? He's big mad. So he's not very pleased and he's got scores to settle. That's what all this is. Who else, you might ask? Because I was going through, oh gosh, a bunch of just very interesting people. So you have a bunch of DNI people who are either under Clapper or CIA people who were either under John Brennan or James Clapper when they were lying under oath and doing all the stuff that they were doing, and a bunch of other people. That's just very interesting that they have this. And it's established by Secretary Mayorkas, and it is the Homeland Intelligence Experts Group. They're such leaders on Homeland Intelligence that they miss a lot of actual domestic terrorism, not by people that people would, you know, not parents at school board meetings either. That's kind of spooky, isn't it? Pretty spooky. And they, all these people, by the way, do you know that these individuals who, some of these other names that are on this letter, they sound familiar. Paul Colby. Why does that name sound familiar? Because he was one of the intelligence people that signed the letter saying that Hunter Biden's laptop wasn't real. That was fake. It was all false. It was all disinformation. Paul Colby, a bunch of them on there had all signed this. Interesting. So you have dudes who lied under oath, who spied on Americans, who lied about spying on Americans, and who were trying to gaslight Americans into thinking that the Hunter Biden laptops were Russian disinformation, and signed a letter to that effect. Those are the people that are, again, wait a second, that formed the Homeland Intelligence Experts Group. Now, I go back to what we've always maintained, that the names of bills and groups, particularly in Democrat administrations, are never actually reflective of the purpose of the bill or group. Because you hear a group name like Homeland Intelligence Experts Groups. Wow, it sounds like a bunch of experts on intelligence regarding the homeland. Ooh, wow, much impressed. No, it's a bunch of traitors. A bunch of traitors. Bunch of spooky government dudes who spied on you, who tried to gaslight you. Now, what is the purpose of this group, you might ask? Great question. The purpose is, quote, to provide advice and perspectives on intelligence and national security efforts to the Office of Intelligence and Analysis and the Office of Counterterrorism Coordinator to support DHS's vital work to protect our country. When they immediately have bad grammar on a government page, I am sus. I gotta say. Should be, unless it precedes an S, it's the S apostrophe S, but I digress. So, what does that sound like to you? Very interesting that this forms right ahead of an election, Kane. Sounds like somebody's trying to get ahead of the ball so they can say, this is disinformation. No, this is. It sounds like they want to be the bouncers of what is or isn't actual information, doesn't it?
Exactly like they did with the Hunter laptop. That's weird.
So weird. Oh, and Kane, to that point, exactly the same people. Such a coincidence. Don't you think that's a great coincidence?
There are no coincidences.
Now, I have more coming up after headlines here. Oh, don't think that we're out of stupid government things yet, guys. We're just getting going. It's a threefer today. So we have other dumb government things that you probably want to be aware of as we roll into the week. And I'm going to share all of those with you. And we have headlines on the way, too. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Gas prices have never been this high at this time of the year, ever. With the fall season approaching, diesel prices are expected to go up for farmers, which in turn causes your grocery bill to skyrocket. With no strategic petroleum reserve to tap into, is there ever an end in sight? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The market is struggling. Newsweek says that home building is collapsing. I told you this when we had the headline about sofas, which I didn't know about the sofa metric. Did y'all know that? I didn't know that, like, the fewer sofas that you that are being purchased, that's like a sign that the housing market's not going well. By the way, sidebar, do you call it a sofa or a couch? Is that like a regional difference? Sofa or couch? Think about it. I know it's very important. Can we talk about this? Because Kane is in this camp. They call it a far-right conspiracy theory that John Fetterman has a body double, and they say that it's gone viral. They said he tweeted a picture, and by him, I mean somebody else on his staff that can put on pants, of Homer Simpson responding to conspiracy theorists who won't stop promoting the claim that he's been replaced by a body double, and they put Senator Guy Incognito. And it has the stash. I think it's just because he's lost weight. I mean, it's still the same dumb face. I mean, I think he's just lost. He's lost weight. You have to admit that. I mean, he has, but I don't know. I don't know if I buy the whole. I don't know if I buy that. Amazon is adding 250,000 holiday workers and increasing pay. They said that they're hiring all the new workers starting this month because we're getting ready. I can't believe this already, but we are. We are rolling into the holiday shopping season. The holiday shopping season. I mean, it's not even Halloween yet. It's not even officially spooky season yet. I mean, what do you expect people to put up their Christmas trees while they're eating turkey and wearing their Halloween costumes? Like, what is going on with you, retail? This is so weird. They said that they're raising the starting pay for the new full-time, part-time, and seasonal workers to an average of $20.50 per hour. So they said if they're looking for a short-term way to make extra money, you know, there's a role there. That's what the VP said. And Amazon, apparently, they increased their sales 9% last season compared to the year before. That's a 78% increase compared to 2019. And that's outpacing all the brick-and-mortar businesses as well. So very interesting. Let's see. Also, we're going to talk about this coming up. The DOJ is looking into Elon Musk's past. Wall Street Journal has the piece. They're going all the way, I mean, going back years and years with Elon Musk because it's a witch hunt. But I tell you, it is an absolute witch hunt. And the average price of gas in L.A., do you want to know? It's over $6. Like, we're getting near $7 territory in some places. Yeah. They said it's skyrocketed to an average of over $6 a gallon. In fact, some of them have been like $6.71, $6.49. Oh, my gosh. It's going to get worse. Thanks, Biden. We got a lot more on the way, including, do you know that your tax dollars are paying for journalists to deal with their feels when they get sad about being trolled? For real. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our job is not to do what is politically convenient. Our job is not to take orders from the president, from Congress, or from anyone else about who or what to criminally investigate. As the president himself has said, and I reaffirm today, I am not the president's lawyer. I will add, I am not Congress's prosecutor. The Justice Department works for the American people. Our job is to follow the facts and the law, and that is what we do.
Sure. I mean, I'm not the president's, you know, his personal family time attorney, but, you know, will I protect his crack addict 50-something-year-old son? Yes, I will. You know, will I completely just make a mockery of the Justice Department in my efforts to protect this family from all of their unforced errors? Yes, I will. But, I mean, if you're asking me if I'm, like, his attorney, no, I'm not, like, his attorney. That's Merrick Garland, just a little bit earlier. That's exactly what. No, I'm not his lawyer, narrator, but he is. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of this first hour, Dana Loesch with you. The ongoing hearing between the mean little troll, Attorney General Merrick Garland, who I think is still chapped that he never made it to SCOTUS. He's chapped about that, you know? He's rather verklempt. He's not too pleased. So I think, you know, he's got an axe to grind along with Brennan. They got axes to grind. Golly. I mean, just a bunch of big whiny babies. Speaking of big whiny babies, can't even believe this is an actual headline, but surprise, it is. You know how anytime a Republican, let me just put it like that, anytime a Republican were to say anything hurtful, I guess, or that hurts the feelings of a journalist or criticizes their work or something like that, you always have other journalists run out and claim that, oh, it's sanctity of the press, the sanctity of the free press. You guys are so mean. Oh, all the time. Like, you hear that all the time. I ran across this headline, and I thought it was actually kind of funny until I realized that it was our taxpayer dollars at work. Kane's laughing. You know, though, I mean, I'm first we had the DHS intelligence experts group. That's what we were talking about last hour. And I'm pulling the story up. And then now we have this new, apparently our tax dollars are being used to help journalists get over being trolled. I know. I'm right there with you. It's kind of, I mean, we'll have a piece about this coming up later, but this is, I thought it was funny. Twitchy used the, what's her face? The chick at Washington Post who went after libs of TikTok, Taylor the Wren. She's like 60 years old and she says she's like 19. I don't know that chick. True story. Everybody's been using that image. So journalists, this was first reported by Daily Caller. $5 million to give to journalists for some emotional support if they're trolled. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not making this up. It's actually a real thing. I think I tweeted about this last night too, didn't I? I think I did. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Journalists who are being trolled online can seek help on the taxpayer's dime. That was an unintentional rhyme. Good on them. Whoever's writing those tweets for you, Daily Caller, good job. The program, if you go to usaspending.gov, kill us now. The program is called Expert Voices Together. What is this about? Well, if you're wondering, Expert Voices Together is a government grant database that is a socio-technical system that provides real-time support to experts experiencing online harassment. It's to provide journalists and other experts with the means of monitoring and reporting alleged abuse and personalized assistance with digital safety, mental health care specialist, and trauma-informed care. End quote. Mm-hmm. expert voices together. So two expert things, like back to back with the government. Look at that. It is the National Science Foundation that first allocated almost $1 million in funding to George Washington University in 2021. And then the project was approved for continuation in 22 with an additional $5 million in taxpayer funds. It's still ongoing. It's not going to end until next year. And it provides journalists with mental health counseling and to address the rapid spread of misinformation that they themselves perpetuate. Wait, what? And this is actually a sentence from this thing. Ready? Word salad. Harassment undermines confidence in pivotal sources of knowledge and reduces expert participation in the information ecosystem. In case you wondered what vomit sounded like, it was that sentence. They want to bolster trust and authenticity in communication systems. I can't even. Mm-hmm. Now, they, you know, for instance, the Taylor Lorenz lady, she's said that. Remember, she tried to go after libs of TikTok because libs of TikTok literally reposted stuff that nutjobs freely posted themselves in a public forum. Yep. And when Taylor Lorenz showed up at her house, and then there was backlash at her abusing her reporter's position and bullying someone, then she claimed that she was being bullied as a way to dodge accountability. Because that's what journalists do. They, whenever they're called out on their BS, they claim that they're being bullied so they don't have to be held accountable to their bad behavior. That's what this is. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people doxxed and everything else, but this is done so that these reporters, that they can avoid any kind of culpability or any kind of anything, any accountability at all. But this is $5 million. Now, I had asked the question, where can we as taxpayers go to seek relief from abuse we receive by journalists? Right? Where's ours? Where I want the journalists to pay for us. Where's that at? If you need mental health counseling because someone criticizes your work, you literally need to be involuntarily committed and not be working in public with people. Oh my gosh, we have the softest society. It's not even soft. It's people who are exploiting this and trying to claim that it's trauma because they don't want to take accountability for their BS. That's what this is. They don't want to be called to account. That's all this is. And they're exploiting like actual real issues that other people legitimately deal with. And then you know what that does? It cheapens public sentiment for any future claims of trauma by anybody. Shameful what these people are doing. And it's our tax dollars. I mean, they do interviews with MSNBC where they pat each other on the back. Can you believe it? Like, I literally showed up at someone's house because I didn't like what they tweeted. And can you believe the heat that I got? Oh my gosh. Like, totally. So they do. It's insane. I wanted to share this. I don't have this in my run-up because it just happened a little bit earlier. Do you guys know who Emma Roberts is? She kind of has a rep of being kind of aggressive. She gives me Shannon Doherty vibes, and I love Shannon Doherty. So I mean that in a good way. It's Julia Roberts' niece. So her dad is Eric Roberts, Julia Roberts' brother. And Emma Roberts is on a show that I've never watched, American Horror Story. So there is a dude who decided to make a video and go off on her. You want to talk about bullying and trauma. And go off on her, saying that she is transphobic. This guy named Angelica Ross, he says that Emma Roberts misgendered him because he wants to cosplay as a woman on the set of American Horror Story 1984. I had tweeted about this morning. Angelica stated that when the two of them were both referred to as ladies on set, Emma replied saying, quote, "Don't you mean lady?" while looking at Angelica. That's pretty based. Where's the offense? Where's the line? Yeah, where's the, I don't see the trouble here. Where is it? Anybody? Anybody? I don't see it. Okay. So they're trying to go at Emma Roberts, and everyone's saying, oh, she's so mean. Can you believe she said that? What, can you believe that she wasn't going to allow herself to be abused and gaslit into thinking that science and biology are social constructs and that her language has to be policed by a dude who wants to cosplay as her sex? Is that what you're alluding to? Because I don't see the issue. Huh. I like her more now. Like, I wasn't really, like, a big fan of hers. Oh, my gosh, and they changed her Wikipedia to transphobe. So they're abusing her. They're all the sexists are coming out, and they're abusing her because she didn't bend the knee. Man, I am full of comebacks. I honestly think that she handled it way better than I would have. I would have been a lot meaner, is what I'm saying. I would have been. So I thought that it was pretty professional. I like her now. Oh, man, they're really trying to cancel her. But just because that she and this man is abusing her, this misogynist is abusing her. I think you want to talk about trauma. Let's talk about all of the chauvinists who want to cosplay as women and who decide to take out their wife beating fantasies on women simply because they disagree with them about their language and they want to use science based pronouns. We have more on the way. And we have today in these United States, and also we're going to get into the weaponized government against Musk. We're also going to look at law and order and the politicization thereof. And the president, I told you it's a three for today with government creations, right? So the president is creating, just in time for 2024, a new office for quote-unquote gun violence prevention. They're having a presser in the Rose Garden to announce this on Friday. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time, and the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations. And this 12 gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12 gauge pump action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells and with dual tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12 plus 1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KeltecWeapons.com and follow Kel-Tec on social media. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
My message to the CEOs is, you know, at $74 million, you know, collectively earning that, you know, how many yachts can they need, to ski behind it? You know, I mean, it's just crazy.
Good job there, Costanza. I mean, how many yachts do they have to yacht behind the yacht? I mean, guy incognito.
Can I just say, just that audio there makes me believe there isn't a body double.
See, you're one of those people who are like, I don't know, the stash looks different here. I think he just lost weight. He's like one of those guys who can lose weight, but it only looks like it in the face.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show. Stop being like, Dana, don't be mean. No, hi, why are you listening? Come on. I mean, hello. I mean, if these guys are going to be making determinations about our rights, you better damn well believe I'm going to be mean. It might be the only freedom I have left. The freedom to be mean. Actually, just to be honest, I mean, at first it sounded like, oh, wow, he's getting going. And then just it stalled out. It just didn't happen for him. You know, I don't know. You know what? The easiest way to stop him from dressing like a slob in the Senate is to lock Steve Bannon's closet. It's the quickest way. Stop him from raiding his closet. And then maybe his wife will, you know, stop whatever she's doing and get her husband some decent clothes. Just saying. You know I'm right. You can go ahead and clip that. That's okay. That's all right. This will make that a little short. It's okay. It's true, though. You know I'm right. The hat really Does he think he actually nobody knows who he is? I wonder sometimes. John Fetterman talking about, he's talking about auto execs because of the UAW strike. How many yachts, you know, do they need, you know, to yacht to water a ski behind it, you know? So, no, we don't. Can someone translate? We really don't. So, see, I don't want to hear nothing about Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell at least stops talking. Fetterman just keeps on going. Just he's like, if I say enough words, then it'll work itself out. Or if I give them enough words, they can put them in the order that they need to be. At least Mitch McConnell just stops and stares at you because he knows that he could say something dumb and he just stops talking. At least he has the presence of mind to do that. So I don't want to hear nothing from no Dems about that. Uh-uh. Our guys, shut up. We're better than you. Oh, man. All right. So coming up next hour. Oh, I got to tell you this. Tucker Carlson apparently just said that Michael Wolff, you know, Michael Wolff's book, the guy that it was led through the Trump administration, and he wrote this like horrible book about it. And then everyone's like, oh, he's a liar. And we're like, yeah, he's a liar. And then he wrote this book about DeSantis. And now some people are like, oh, he's not a liar anymore because it suits us. Now Tucker Carlson came out and said that the claims about DeSantis kicking the Carlson family dog is, quote, totally made up and absurd. Well, I could have told you that. I mean, I could have completely told you that. So there it is. Also, the House fight intensifies. Now we're apparently calling names. Gates apparently says that McCarthy is unhinged and misogynistic. Oh my gosh, please let's not. I mean, I know that you just wore a pink suit to a Barbie premiere, but let's not also start adopting the language. I don't even want to defend McCarthy, but when I hear Republicans unjustifiably call someone misogynistic, I don't agree with you, so you must be a misogynist. There's a part of me that just recoils in disgust, right? I don't know what it is. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to get into the administration. They're desperate. They need a distraction. Hey, let's create. They got a whole organization for failed CIA traitors and people who try to gaslight you about laptops. And then they created a council to help troll journalists. Well, now they're going to create also a gun violence little thing, little gun violence group. They're going to announce that Friday in the Rose Garden with a special presser. We're going to talk about that preview. And then damage control on the GOP side in the primary. We got that and a lot more. Stick with us. More of the Dana Show coming up.
The fix is in. Even with the face-saving indictment last week of Hunter Biden, everyone knows the fix is in. 4.5 years. 4.5 years, the Department of Justice has been investigating Mr. Biden, an investigation run by David Weiss, an investigation that limited the number of witnesses agents could interview, an investigation that prohibited agents from referring to the president as the, quote, big guy in any of the interviews they did get to do, an investigation that curtailed attempts to interview Mr. Biden by giving the transit team secret a heads up, an investigation that notified Mr. Biden's defense counsel about a pending search warrant, an investigation run by Mr. Weiss, where they told the Congress three different stories in 33 days.
Yeah, sounds like so much transparency. My goodness. That was Jim Jordan kicking off this hearing that's been ongoing with Alejandro Mayorkas today. Welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour. I'm Dana Lash. Good to be with you. And you can listen to the radio show across the country. You can watch the simulcast, YouTube and Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. And as all of this goes down, I really wish that the bulk of the, I mean, it should be, Republicans should all be organized in that they keep their focus on what's happening right now in these House hearings. If they were smart, but so many of them are so damn thirsty and everybody's jockeying for a position. You got somebody who wants to go for governor. You got somebody who wants to try to increase their standing in the House. You got somebody, and I'm just, for 1 second, can we put our personal ambitions aside and maybe focus on a strategy that amplifies and has and really encourages the nation to look at the thing that you were complaining that the House wasn't doing? It would be great if we could actually talk about the stuff that came out of this hearing more than we talk about people arguing with Kevin McCarthy. And I don't say this as like some sort of stan. How long have we talked about having Mayorkas Garland answer these questions? And now he's fumbling. he's, I think, showing his cards a little bit here unintentionally. And instead, everybody's focusing on power jockeying, as per usual, because Republicans are some of the stupidest people on God's green earth. That's why. It is infuriating. I mean, I thought it was very telling, too, that, I mean, it seems that Garland is intimating that they're never going to be able to question David Weiss. Ever. And he can sit here and say he's not the president's personal attorney all he wants to, but he sure as hell acts like it. When he's putting the guy who created the sweetheart deal that fell apart, who was slow walking the investigation until statute of limitations started hitting for some of these charges, when he makes that guy the special prosecutor, thereby protecting him, and he announced that the moment after Republicans began indicating that they were going to bring him in for questioning, and then immediately Garland announces that Weiss is a special prosecutor. He did that to prevent Weiss from testifying before Congress. He did that to make it to where Republicans couldn't ask Weiss any questions. And then he says today that, well, Weiss, you know, you'll be able to read this when Weiss submits his final report, meaning you're not going to talk to this guy until this investigation concludes, and that's going to be well after the election. They're doing everything that they can to protect the Biden family. So his protestations that he's not the family's personal attorney, he's the consigliere. Come on. And he knows it. And he's further fueled by his animosity towards Republicans because they didn't place this undeserving cretin on SCOTUS. That's just the reality of it. The president is going to announce a quote-unquote Office of Gun Violence Prevention on Friday. They're going to have this Rose Garden ceremony, and he's coordinating it with Mike Bloomberg's gun control groups. So you have the president of the United States putting in charge of quote-unquote gun violence prevention people who know absolutely male copulatory organ about firearms. That's the truth of the matter. The Washington Post had the story. They said that the new office is going to report up through the White House staff secretary. And that they are going to be working with the Everytown people. So you have people who have no idea. They don't know anything about firearms. They don't know anything about gun law. These are people who have publicly stated on record that they think all guns should be banned. They have publicly stated on record that they think that, any semi-automatic firearm is a military issue. They know absolutely nothing, and yet these are the people that the administration, if they were, it just signals to me that they're not serious about quote-unquote gun violence prevention. They're not serious about any of this. This is an office to harass law-abiding people. That's what all of these efforts typically are. They're offices to harass law-abiding people because, really, if they wanted to actually solve the problem of quote-unquote gun violence, they probably would have at least minimum mandatory, they would follow the penalties for these repeat offenders that are always in illegal possession when committing felonious activity. But they never do. Ever. In fact, California is the state that has an A rating from the Everytown people. They have every gun control law you could ever want. In fact, they were the first state in the nation to do the what they call the quote unquote universal background checks. Universal background checks are, it's a meaningless term stating that you have to register everything you own with the state and you can't do anything with your own private property unless you ask the state for permission to do so. I mean, it's a communist venture. And of course, here you have a guy who shot and killed a deputy, and he was able to slip through the cracks to do so. Pretty amazing, right? I mean, in fact, when you look at some of the mass casualty incidents that have taken place recently, some of them have been in California. And despite all of their quote unquote their gun control laws, their ammo checks, their UBCs, their assault weapons ban, everything else, none of those laws failed to actually prevent any of the tragedies that they claimed were going to be prevented by the implementation of said laws. And so instead of blaming their restorative justice policies that allows these repeat offenders to go back out on the street, terrorizing the public again, they actually want to make it more difficult for the public to defend themselves. They're trying to mainstream the view that every law-abiding citizen who lawfully purchases a firearm and wants to be able to defend their own lives is somehow worse than the criminals who want to take it. That's what they're promoting. This is an office of terrorizing the law-abiding gun owner. That's what they're announcing on Friday. And the fact that they're working with some of the dumbest people in gun policy, people who know less about firearms than I do about football, is incredibly telling. They're not serious. None of this isn't a serious effort. None of this is serious at all. And so they had Garland who released a statement, because you know they've been also trying to expand the background checks. You know, this was something that Garland had alluded to. They want to go around Congress. That's what the ATF has been doing. They want to go around Congress and they want to try to they proposed this rule that was late last month where they were demanding universal background checks. Mm-hmm. They said that they're going to publish the rule for public comment. You get so many days to make a comment on it. Garland had said, quote, it's the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act to reduce gun violence and blah, blah, blah. They said that they want to include expanding the background checks that keep guns out of the hands of criminals. By the way, criminals don't get their guns going through an FFL and filling out a form. In fact, only Hunter Biden does that. And guess what? When he does it, then they drag their feet and they don't charge him. Or they charge him only as a way to cover Joe Biden's ass, because they know it's the only charge that they can hit Hunter Biden with, that it doesn't actually implicate Joe Biden. And he's going to plead down and just, they're going to plead him down and he's going to get a slap on the wrist. Watch. If he's even convicted. They said the proposed rule implements Congress's mandate to expand the definition of blah, blah, blah. Who must it? No, that's the ATF doesn't have that. Steve Dettelbach is the dork who's in charge of the ATF. I told you my feelings about the ATF. When I was at SHOT Show, I went up there and I was entirely unimpressed when I went to the booth. I felt like they went out and said, you know, they had a casting call to try to hire people with beards to see who could talk to gun owners at SHOT Show, which is the NSSF. That's the National Shooting Sports Foundation's industry event that they have in Vegas every year. And I went over there to the ATF because this was right after they said, oh my gosh, the, you know, the pistol grips and everything else, we're going to just have this rule and do an in run around Congress. And we're going to try to ban all the things. They purposely put their booth on the level where you have the mom and pop shops. They don't keep their booth upstairs, you know, where all the big manufacturers are. They go down where the small manufacturers are. I think it's a form of intimidation. And they were walking around to all of the booths, you know, trying to be very helpful. Like, oh, well, we just want to make sure that you're compliant. So I walked to their booth. And I'm like, I want to know why, you know, if you can explain to me why you did a 180. And after you sent letters out informing all these FFLs out there, the federal firearms licensees, why you said it was totally fine that they have and sell or whatever with pistol braces. Then you turn around, you do a 180 and you say, no, you actually can't. You have to turn it over or you're going to be a felon. And why you decided to, what changed? Because twice you protected idea of a pistol brace being free from further bureaucratic regulation. Why did you have a total 180 and decide to flip? By the end of the conversation, they had eight of these people up there to talk to little old me, and not a single damn one of these dudes could answer a question. And one of the guys, and I was real cool, you know, I followed the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse rule of, you know, being aggressive. I'm nice until it's time to not be nice. That was nice. I was lovey-dovey. And up there at that booth, there was one guy definitely wasn't. And he was trying to make that very clear. Like, whenever he said Trump's name, he'd act like he was scratching his face with his middle finger. And I look at him at one point. I'm like, are you trying to be clever? Like, am I supposed to think, ooh, so edgy that you're doing that? And I just looked right at him. I didn't follow. I can't say what I followed it up with, but that was the most aggressive that I was for that period. I'll get fined. That's why. So nobody could answer. No, I mean, nobody can answer the question. And then the guy was citing the law incorrect or the rule incorrectly. And I asked him if he was worried about being spanked by circuit court. I'm like, you know, because that happened last time y'all tried those with the bump stocks. So that's the thing. So the ATF, we're going to redefine the language. So it's either you don't get to redefine nothing, slicks. That's the whole thing. And here's the, if Congress would, Congress needs to nip this. Honestly, I want to see these candidates talk about ending this stupid, idiotic, bureaucratic agency. They had, like I said, they were walking all around at SHOT Show, walking all these mom and pop booths. We want to make sure that we're helping you to be compliant. You can help me by GTFO. That's what you can do right now. Hippity hoppity, get off my property. So I don't know. Will this whole rule they had that, oh, consistent with the Gun Control Act, oh, blah, blah, blah. They're trying to expand. And I've written two books about this. I've written I don't know how many pieces about this. I've given I don't know how many interviews about this. And I have done I don't know how many radio segments about how universal background checks, A, don't work, B, you can't implement them, and C, it's designed to fail. They're not serious about quote-unquote gun violence. They're not serious because they don't care about reducing criminal access. They only care about reducing the law-abiding access and further breaking down law and order in this country. And the fact that they have the bimbos of the gun control world working with them on it tells you everything that you need to know about their motives. I don't take it seriously. They can have whatever rose garden presser they want to, but I'm not taking it seriously. So it is... we'll see, but we're going to have to start having the House get a little serious on it. And I'll be damned if this issue gets lost in the phallus measuring contest that is this Republican primary, this whole party can go to hell.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm dying to get to the story of the Tanzanian fashion designer who finally was reunited with the clothes that the nuclear twink stole. Remember Sam Brinton in 2018, the Biden twink, ex-Department of Energy official that loved to steal ladies' suitcases from the airport? Grown man literally walked around the world wearing other women's clothes and jewelry, including this actual fashion designer from this Tanzanian fashion designer, and she recognized her clothes. So she's suing the administration, and she finally got, her name is Asaya Kasman, she finally got her luggage from the Arlington, Virginia, Ronald Reagan National Airport. She finally got her clothes back. So it took that long. I have a joke that I, okay, Kane, what detergent gets out the smell of what? All right, so moving on. I don't wanna hear it from you lip readers. You can stop, don't wanna hear it. Shh, it's just not free, don't. All right, so this, oh, in Wales, man, they're really serious about their speed limits. Members of the Welsh Parliament have been receiving threatening messages over the rollout of 20-mile-per-hour speed limits. The people are not pleased. Apparently, community members have been trolling them on social media, bombing their phones and emails. Due to the stance on the topic, they became the first country in the UK to drop the default limit from 30 to 20 for restricted roads. And for some reason, this cost them £33 million. I have no idea why. But the Welsh people are none too pleased. And they're a little bit, you know, they're speaking up about it. So I just think it's funny that that's what they're fighting over. Let's see. Keanu Reeves, he actually wanted John Wick to be killed off. According to a new piece that quotes the producer, Basil Iwanek, they said Reeves wanted to be definitely killed off in the fourth movie. It debuted last March. It was one of the best. The fight scenes are beautifully choreographed. The gunfu is amazing. They said that he wanted to be killed off and that he was hopeful that he would, but it's not going to happen, I don't think. They said that physically and emotionally, he's just exhausted after he does those movies. And I believe it because he does all of this stuff himself. So they don't know what, you know, the next one will look like or anything, but, you know, they're interesting. We have a lot more on the way. The DOJ's weaponized and the worst karaoke you've ever heard. Stay with us.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Make sure you sign up for Substack over my chapter and verse newsletter, good stuff that comes out daily. So I don't watch The View because I have standards and stuff. But I ended up accidentally seeing this. It reminded me of an SNL skit. Everyone is sending me links to SNL skits about just when different singer-songwriter karaoke things. Because over at The View, they apparently had, like, the wine moms are just back at it, man. And they had two chicks in, like, the flowy Target dresses singing some song. I don't even know what it, I don't even know. There was a warning on the video on Twitter, like, don't play this by cats. They go crazy. And I'm only going to be able to give you, like, 5 seconds because I'll die. But I guess it was like an anti-gun song or something about gun violence song. And it just reminded me of like when drunk chicks mistake dive bar karaoke for like American Idol. Just a taste of it. Just a taste. I had to listen to it, so do you.
I know that things will change when enough of us will say enough, enough.
Okay. Man, I can't. Yeah. I mean, the whole, like, I'm going to close my eyes and wave my arms around like a wizard, and I just, I don't know. Oh, my gosh, I can't. You know what gets criminals to stop doing criminal stuff? Wearing, going and singing bad songs on the VO. That's what it does.
Does it work?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know what I mean? Like when I mean, it's like drunk chicks who are like, oh my gosh, what if there's a producer from American Idol in here at the dive bar? I'm going to do my best at karaoke. Fancy, here's your one chance, don't let me down. I mean, like I... So it feels like I got those vibes majorly, dude. I man. Oh. Turned down for what? Oh man, our politics are so stupid. Oh, I'm trying real hard to get through this segment. It's just not. I mean, I don't, it was not good. It was not good. It was pretty cringe, man. Somebody goes, this is not the Lilith Fair. Yeah, make it stop. I didn't even like, when I was in high school and the Lilith Fair came out, I didn't even like it then because I just thought it was cringe. I'm like, I don't want to hang out with you bitches all day. I don't want to do that. Who wants to, a bunch of like chicks in Birkenstocks? That's my idea of hell. That's, any singer, songwriter, anything is my idea of hell. I would only make maybe an exception for one song by John Denver. And I don't know. That's pretty much it. My stepdad likes James Taylor. Loves James Taylor. So I can't totally pass a lot of judgment. Just out of respect to him. But the second he's off this mortal coil, I will. But that's kind of macabre. I don't like the singer-songwriter stuff. And can I just a sidebar? What's up with the flowy dress? Is that the thing of the season? Are we all pretending to be a Little House on the Prairie? Is that what we're doing here? Is that it? Is that like the new thing? Like we're all going to wear Clydesdale heels and dress up like Little House on the Prairie? I'm just asking because I want to know if I need to stay inside all fall or, you know, if I can go out in public and not, you know, cringe to death over someone else's attire. All right. It really was. I mean, that's... I don't even know what they were talking about, but I'm told it was about gun violence stuff. Meanwhile, John Fetterman, he tweeted this out literally just a little bit ago. Can I say this word? Can let me put this. I don't know if I can say this. Let me put this in Slack. Can I say that word that's in the headline?
Yeah, if you pronounce it just like it's written, I think so.
Jag off?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's... Don't look at me, guys.
That's news. I mean...
It's news, and it's what he said. It's right. What it's what Senator Cargo Shorts McCroc said, okay? So he's really milking this to level cringe. At this point, it's just like, we get it. You're a slob. Gross. And he says that... I guess he thinks he's... Well, it's not him. You know, it's his staff. He tweeted, quote, and by he, I mean his staff, quote, if those jagoffs in the House stop trying to shut our government down and fully support Ukraine, then I will save democracy by wearing a suit on the Senate floor next week. Nobody cares. I don't want to do anything that bad. I don't care what you do, man. You could like wear a sumo. You could wear a sumo towel. I don't care. Nobody does that. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But it seems like because now that's all he talks about. He's or his staff and him. I guess he's being encouraged to only talk about that now. And he's beating it to death. Now it's just becoming kind of annoying. And then you know what? Then you get stuff like this. I can't. Susan Collins, who I'm not even a fan of. She's now threatening to do stuff, too. See, look what he started. Go ahead. Play that.
I plan to wear a bikini tomorrow to the Senate floor to do away with the dress code. To me, debases the institution.
It's going to be a bingo wing party. Man, it's going to... We have the dumbest, we live in the dumbest times. We really do. I want aliens to come and just like blow up our planet. We live in the dumbest of times. Honestly, I watched this movie last night. It was supposed to be a horror movie, but it actually made me feel hopeful. It was about, I can't remember what it was called. It was some chick. Oh, Significant Other. That's what it was called. Some chick and her boyfriend who's a vegetarian. And I was like, that's your first problem. I'm already scared. Like, you're going into the woods with this beta. They were going, they were in the Pacific Northwest. So it was, they had the Pacific Northwest, like the sticker, and they had like all the, they were Whole Foods' ideal customers. And they probably wore like underwear woven of hemp and all this stuff. And, you know, they used deer musk as cologne. I don't know. And he's like, let's go hiking and then camping in the woods. Now, I love nature, but I'm not going to lie or pretend to be I'm something I'm not. We, the people, invented the house, okay? So that we don't have to be homeless. And I just view, and if you love to do this, more power to you. I'm just telling you where I am. I don't like pretending to be homeless. We invented the house, okay? And the lights in it and the running water. Anyway, so this guy's like, let's go on a romantic, and it was cold because they're all bundled up, and it was in the Pacific Northwest, so it's raining. Like, you're going to be miserable, cold, and wet, and you're going to be sleeping on the cold, hard ground in your little tent. This is a nightmare. And then they go to a burger shack before they go up in the mountains. I'm not going to tell you the whole movie, but I will, so just warning. And he asks for a vegetarian meal at a place that literally said it was the Burger Shack. And my first thought was, girl, it's already scary. You better run. I mean, him saying that was the audible. It was basically the equivalent of ch-ch-ch. You know what that means. So they go up. Aliens are involved. And somehow he gets, they're going to come and fill up the earth. And the alien likes the girl. And he wants her to go onto a planet away from, you know, the destruction that's coming to Earth. And I'm like, is it destruction or is it going to help? Because everything is so stupid, it can't get much worse. That was my first thought. And as the final scene began to fade to black, the sky was full of these alien pods raining down like red, hateful, vengeful asteroids. And I just thought, oh, look, it's a better day. That's what I thought. I was like, this was supposed to be a scary movie, and I was not scared. I was hopeful. The only time I was scared was when, you know, she had to depend on the guy who went to the Burger Shack and got a vegetarian meal. And I'm like, how are you going to live in the woods? So anyway, long story short, everything is dumb. And I eagerly await our alien overlords. I don't know about you. Right? Kane, I would look. That's going to be a happy day. I'll play some Bill Withers.
Yep.
Right.
It's almost embarrassing to take them to our leader at this point.
Yeah, I mean, well, which leader? I mean, we got, you know, President Cheesebrain McDaddy Showers or, you know, President Crocs McCargo Shorts. I don't know. Like, which one? Which, where do we go? Are you going to take him up to Lil Castro up in Canada, right? Or are you going to take him to Hot for Teacher over in France? Like, where are you going? I'm full of it today, okay? All right. Got through that. I hope that we don't get, because that's the word that he used, right? Yeah. That's the word that he used. And I'm like trying to shut our government down and fully support Ukraine. No, I want our government to be shut down now. I don't care if he wears a suit or not. And now he's just like, it's just overkill, man. It's just overkill. In the meantime, he's trying to talk about his suit. Maybe pay attention to what's happening at the border. An Eagle Pass, Bill Malugin says it's a total free for all. He says that now, I'm going to point out, yesterday he said it was the biggest that he's ever seen. Okay, so now he's like, wait, I was wrong. Today is the biggest I've ever seen. Check this out. They counted about a little over 15,000 Haitians under the bridge in Del Rio. In Del Rio, there were over 15,000 illegal immigrants under the bridge. That's just in Del Rio. In Eagle Pass, thousands under that bridge. Now, what did they say yesterday was? 9,000?
8,000 or 9,000, yeah.
It was like a little under, I think, 9,500. Guys, we got some major problems here. Yeah, shut it down. Shut it all down. If you can't look at these images and not think, shut it all the hell down, you don't deserve to be in elected office. And you remember every single Republican that compromises on a CR. This is insane. This is absolutely insane. Because you know, you have Democrats that go out there and say, oh, no, they're going to get, they're going to come back for, they'll go to immigration court and they'll see a judge. What were the statistics? Something like 93, actually over that percentage, never show up. Never. I mean, they never, ever show up. When is this video, this flashback video of Biden?
This is from 2015, from what I understand.
Oh, I guess probably before all the strokes he had. I'm just speculating. Now, just by the way, he is a racist. So think about how he's saying this. But secondly, he misses the point. Listen.
An unrelenting stream of immigration. Nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America.
This is absolute Biden minority. In 2015. He's
fewer
just worried
than
50%
about 50% of the people in America.
He's just worried about, man, there's not going to be any more whites. That's what he's, everyone else is like, wow, how are you all going, are they going to vote? Like, that's not even the point. Everyone else who isn't a racist, like Democrat Joe Biden, who eulogized a Klan member, everyone else is wondering, wait a minute, what is going to happen to resources? What's going to happen to schools? What's going to happen to, like, voting? I mean, are these the people that are given, like, what is it, $2,000 stipend from the U.S. government funded by taxpayers? Like, we're all asking those questions. Joe Biden, this was the guy who also said he didn't want his, he made a racist comment about his kids growing up in desegregated schools. And then that's his focus. And that was in 2015.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Imagine having to fight an alligator for a lawn chair in Florida. That's literally the only sentence that you can say that makes sense only in Florida, nowhere else. One Facebook user showed Guapo, the greedy alligator at the Everglades Holiday Park in Fort Lauderdale, apparently likes to take people's lawn chairs. And there's a video of him taking someone's lawn chair. Florida Fish and Wildlife say that alligators like, obviously they need external heat sources, so they bask in the sun. And Guapo, the greedy alligator, thought that chair was a great way to do it. I mean, I'm not going to fight him for it. No way. Yeah. I mean, go ahead and have that. Go ahead and take it. Just have it. A Florida man is charged with stealing a staggering 1,300 gallons of Wawa gas. It's the Wawa. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. So this dude, $9,000. That's what I was looking for. $9,000 worth of gas from Wawa locations in Orange County, Florida last year. Yerison Perez was charged with 3 counts of grand theft, 1 count of a scheme to defraud on Friday, and he was arrested on an active warrant. Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services announced the arrest, and he was also arrested by Orlando police for fuel theft August of last year. 3 separate Wawa locations he targeted, 1,300 gallons of fuel stolen, totaling more than $9,000 in value. And he's on video, on all of this stuff. And apparently he's got a couple of other charges against him, too. But, I mean, of all the things to do that's not very you can't really do that surreptitiously, you can't, it's not something that you can just like do without being caught. I don't know, some of these people. Let's see here. Okay, so this guy, 78-year-old Florida man, shot at his neighbor because the neighbor trimmed his trees over the property line. Oh my gosh. So Edward Drzolowski, yeah, from De Leon Springs, was booked into Volusia County Jail Sunday. Second-degree murder. He killed this dude. He killed the 42-year-old. This is a 78-year-old. You know what you say. Elderly people aren't innocent. This 78-year-old shot and killed this 42-year-old came.
Not all old people are innocent.
Yeah, okay. Brian Ford was trimming tree limbs along the fence line. And Drzolowski confronted him about being on his property. And he told detectives he told Ford he was going to kill him. And when Ford didn't leave, he killed him. There were two 911 calls that came in. Paramedics arrived, but they couldn't revive the guy. And Drew Zelazky's being held without bond pending initial court appearance. So he's got a second-degree murder charge that's like minimum of 16 years, 16 and a half years, and he could get maximum of life in prison. I don't see how this is. Someone was like, well, was it a stand your ground? Doesn't sound like it. It doesn't sound like it was a stand your ground at all. It sounded like this guy got mad because this dude was trimming trees. That's what it sounds like. And a black bear sighting in a tree at Disney World triggers the closure of the Magic Kingdom. Oh, look, they're still in the headlines after all. Florida Fish and Wildlife said that they successfully captured the adult female bear and they're going to relocate it to a national forest. But there was aerial footage. They found a bear in a tree. It's a bear in a tree. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store. Third hour on the way. Coming up.
So I have just filed cloture on the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, and the Army Chief of Staff. These men should have already been confirmed. They should already be serving in their new positions. The Senate should not have to go through procedural hoops just to please one brazen and misguided senator. But this is where we are. In the end, the Senate will overwhelmingly vote to overcome Senator Tuberville's blockade of these three nominees by voting for cloture. Then the Senate will overwhelmingly vote to confirm them. And these three honorable men will finally be able to assume their positions. And the abortion policy that Senator Tuberville abhors will remain in place.
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to happen. So Chuck Schumer is waving the flag of defeat there. And I think, though, he's doing this as a tactic. We're going to talk about this. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. And this, which just came out for maybe like 10 minutes ago from the Senate, where Schumer says he's filing cloture vote. This is to end all the discussion on the three of the military promotions. And they're blaming Tuberville for stopping them when it was Democrats that decided for the first time they were going to tack on abortion funding, taxpayer funded abortion on demand as birth control. For military, they were going to include that in the NDAA. And Tuberville was saying, you know, people are broke and we're not using. And first off, this, I mean, it is a, you can't use federal funds, number one, to pay for abortions. That's, I mean, a violation of law. Number two, this also, people are broke. We live in a time of inflation. You have the average American household that has a $7,900 pay cut due to inflation and wages not keeping up with the price increases. And you're wanting to yoke everybody with the additional cost of abortion as birth control, because it's exactly what this is. And so it looks like Democrats were more concerned about including, you know, a tip to Planned Parenthood in than they were about making sure that our military had the funding that it needed. That's what it looks like. And they're going to try to spin this back and make this look like it's Tuberville and it's Republicans in the Senate that are blocking this. But there's never been opposition to NDAA before like this. And that's because Democrats decided to politicize it. They decided to do this. They were the ones who chose to make this is the approach that they had. And so it's really, I mean, if they hadn't chose to do this, then there would have been no objections. Why they chose to do this now, this is what they do. They'll tack a poison pill onto a perfectly reasonable bill and then demand that Republicans fund something. And if they don't fund this, I guess that means you hate troops or you hate this or you hate that. That's they like to gamble with the promotion of military and with funding military. I mean, that's ultimately what this is. Honestly, I hope the damn government shuts down just because of what's happening at the border. I was telling you a little bit, talking a little bit about some of this. Bill Malugin's been there with their crew, and they've been, I mean, the videos that they have taken, it is unbelievable. Unbelievable. They said that, I think it was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? It was 9,500. And then he says today, 2 years to the day, they have thousands of Venezuelans under a bridge in Eagle Pass. 2 years to the day, they saw 15,000 plus Haitians under the bridge in Del Rio. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people every single week coming into the country illegally. You cannot enter the United States without proper authorization. That's of the, that's Section 8 U.S. Code 1325. It's called improper entry by alien. You're not to falsely represent yourself or misrepresent yourself. You are to have, you know, the proper authority. You're also to have the proper documentation. You cannot bring other people illegally into the United States. That's a crime. 8 U.S. Code, subsection 1323, unlawful bringing of aliens in the United States. I mean, this is all, you can't harbor aliens. You can't, I mean, this is all federal law. And it's this, these federal laws are being violated every single day south of the border. But oh my gosh, if you're an FFL and you have a grammatical error on one of your forms, they'll take your license away. This is, it's making false statements. I mean, just all of this. This is federal law that's not being enforced. The federal government can't pick and choose what part of the law, what parts of the law it wants to enforce and what parts it doesn't want to enforce. I mean, I really do hope that I want the government to shut down. I think the government should shut down until something is done about this. And I hope Republicans are working with some of these Democrats. Like, for instance, Eric Adams. You know, Biden was in New York for his little UN speech. That was disastrous. I mean, he fumbled all over himself. It was bad. But I wish that he would have, he apparently didn't meet with Eric Adams. The New York City mayor was apparently not pleased about that, saying that, you know, here he was in New York at the UN. And I think the way it was described, he just ghosted him. He didn't have anything to do with him. I mean, that's blew off Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, because the mayor of New York's been critical of the border crisis while also trying to act as though New York isn't a sanctuary. I mean, you're just being asked to live up to your identity as a sanctuary city. And so Biden was too busy with his General Assembly speech, dealing with his teleprompter. He can't be bothered to meet with Eric Adams. Eric Adams was livid. He told reporters, this is New York Post. He told reporters, he was in the Bronx and he was speaking. He said it was a terrible look. And he goes, everybody knows where I am. He says, New York doesn't deserve this. Asylum seekers don't deserve it. So while he's here, that should really reflect. He goes, New York has done its part. I don't think so. I don't think you have. I want to see this fight go on because I feel like y'all made your bet in L.A. in it. That's kind of how I look at this thing. Meanwhile, have you guys heard of Colony Ridge? Delaware had this look inside Colony Ridge, the fastest growing development specifically made for illegal immigrants. It is a Texas development that invites cartel activity, and it is a national security issue in Plum Grove, Texas. It's a Texas land developer, established a pretty sprawling settlement. It's north of Houston. Thousands upon thousands of illegal immigrants are settled there. And 400 miles into the interior, you have some security experts warning that this could be an absolute strategic asset for cartels. It's in Liberty County, Texas, near the small town of Plum Grove. It's called Colony Ridge. Do you know how big Colony Ridge is? It is actually 60 square miles, over 60 square miles. It's almost the size of D.C. Do you want to know what the population of Colony Ridge is? They estimate between 50 to 75,000. It's pretty amazing. And Colony Ridge is exploding. It is absolutely exploding. I mean, there's aerial footage that they had that shows it all laid out. It's a huge area. And all these empty plots that are waiting to be developed, construction vehicles. They have 6 subdivisions. And In fact, right now it's already bigger than some of the major southern cities in Arkansas and North Carolina, like Asheville, North Carolina, Fayetteville, Arkansas. It's owned and operated by William Trey Harris. And the buyers at Colony Ridge are able to circumvent usual requirements, even dodging having to provide a Social Security number. That's pretty amazing. Huge. And the loan is directly from the developer. It bypasses traditional mortgages. So you're going to have a super high interest rate. It's going to be 15%. That's crazy. But for people who want to buy land, and if they're not here legally and they can't get a loan, they don't have a Social Security number, etc., that's the way that they're doing it. And there's ads. It's heavily advertised to the Hispanic community in Texas. And people are encouraged to reach out via WhatsApp. And plots of land are like 65,000. Buyers can choose like what, I guess, how they want to build on it. But it's a city. It is the largest illegal immigrant, basically sanctuary city in the United States, Colony Ridge. And it's expanding quickly. There was an article published in Center Square where the developer's trying to push back against the claims that it's, you know, that it's the largest illegal alien settlement in Texas. But I don't think that they're going to be successful in lying on that. Doesn't seem like it. I mean, it is, it's just amazing. I mean, you're giving people who are in the country home loans directly so they bypass the banks. As I was saying, you don't have to have the Social Security number, all of that stuff. And then it just goes unchecked. Goes entirely unchecked. And it's blowing up. I mean, they're looking at like, 100,000. It's going to expand to 200,000. This is crazy. Completely lawless. And law enforcement can't keep up with the exploding population. They said that there's very thin law enforcement there. Liberty County Sheriff's Office, a representative there, said that they don't check immigration status and routine stops because it would take forever, is the quote. That immigration status, the suspects are only checked when investigating violent crimes. It's huge. I mean, it has doubled in size like within the last 3 years. And the word, according to Republican Congressman Brian Babin, says and I've heard this too, that cartels play a role in the area. They have safe houses for human and drug smuggling operations. And it's the Gulf and Sinaloa cartels, which is the Gulf, that's the Matamoros, is where they're located. So, yeah, almost the size of what we said. We already said that, almost the size of D.C. So this is huge. They found a 16-year-old girl who was shot to death in a ditch in Colony Ridge. And there was earlier this year, they had an illegal immigrant kill 5 people. Another family who was here illegally as well. So they got a serious issue with crime already there. They got narcotics and gangs already. There was a mother who was murdered, mother of 5 who was murdered. She was married to a high-ranking Mexican cartel member. And, I mean, it keeps going. This is what's happening at the border. The Biden administration wants to make it to where Texas is all of this, to where it's completely lawless and anyone who comes in illegally can't leave. That's what they're planning. They already said it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5.
So this is a headline that we're going to come to here in coming up, but the headline is: a recent U.S. Navy report identifies climate change as one of the most serious threats facing the American military today. I know. I would think it's like people within our government that are trying to destroy military readiness, but you know. Student loan restart. Payments are to resume in 11 days as the federal pause ends. So debt repayments start again in October. They're going to gain billions. They've been paused since March 2020 because people decided that they didn't have to pay off their student loans. So that's actually, I think we should all be just given a reprieve from taxes and everything else, because we definitely didn't get the ROI on the investment of our tax dollars for that. That's for sure. Also, I don't know, again, it's researchers in China, so take from it what you will. But they're saying that they discovered a new virus lurking at the bottom of the world's deepest Trench, the Mariana Trench. This is a group of islands south of Japan. They said the virus infects and replicates inside of bacteria that are usually found in deep ocean. And the pathogen was found in sediment 5 miles below sea level in the Mariana Trench, lowest point on Earth in the Pacific. And they said that that it's viruses. Are they going to weaponize it? Like, keep an eye on it. Don't let Fauci near it. For the love. Let's see, a couple others. A couple here. There was a Napa homeowner that was allegedly stabbed by a trespasser and pulled a knife out of his own back. Got to do it yourself now because crime's so bad. Yeah. He was defending himself Saturday morning. He was stabbed by his attacker. He pulled the knife out of his own back and then stabbed the attacker with the same knife that he had been stabbed with. That's according to Napa County Sheriff's Office. They reported this on Facebook. 33-year-old Andrew Dixon. He was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder, elder abuse, and assault with a deadly weapon against a 61-year-old homeowner and attacked him right in his own house. I don't even know. Good heavens. The Fed's next challenge, $100 oil. Wall Street Journal has the story that, I mean, this uninterrupted rise in oil and gas. The Saudi output cuts and the record demand have pushed crude prices 26% higher this quarter. We were just telling you about gas prices in L.A., how expensive those have gotten. So pretty unbelievable. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. More of the Dana Show coming up.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The first thing I'll tell you is there's no money in the house right now from Ukraine. It's not there.
There's no support for money?
No. And to be blunt, we're running a $2 trillion deficit. Any money we give to Ukraine, we're borrowing from our future. That's the facts. Those are the truth. Anybody, you feel how you want to feel about it. I'm here to tell you what's right and what's real.
Well, Byron Donalds, I will say, is correct there. Zelensky was asking for money again when he was there talking to the General Assembly. Welcome back to the show, bottom of this third hour. And the money to that's one of the big sticking points in the debate, the ongoing debate that they've been some of the aspects of it that they've been going back and forth over. But whether or not they get that, I don't know. Chuck Schumer kind of threw in the towel a little bit, although I do think that that's a tactic that he's using to try to say, oh, this is clearly all on Republicans, except it's not. Like, you know, we've said, I mean, if Democrats cared as much about military readiness as they do funding abortion on demand as birth control, then, you know, goodness, this probably wouldn't be an issue. Wouldn't be an issue. Now, in the meantime, the back and forth in the House is, we've been following this, the Garland testimony, etc. The Senate has been kind of, I don't know. The headline here on the Hill is alarmed, and that's kind of how it's being characterized by a couple of different outlets. There was a quote that I had here from Mitch McConnell, because as you know, and this was in the prep as well, as you know, there's the procedural vote on the budget, and it was essentially nixed. I mean, it's like DOA at this point. And they were saying, oh, it's failure of party discipline. That's ultimately what it is. And now they're trying to quote Republicans in the Senate as saying, you know, as being nervous about this. They're doing anything that they can to hype up any kind of division within the Republican Party. It was a procedural vote to advance the spending bill. It was 212 to 214 on the chamber floor yesterday. We're 11 days, I think, out now from a shutdown. And the five Republicans voted with Democrats to kill the move. It's a rules vote. It's the second time it happened under McCarthy. And so, and Republicans then just launched into fighting after that. And McConnell was reported as admonishing the House GOP, it's a loser for Republicans politically. Yeah, if you want to go ahead and allow Democrats to entirely set the narrative on this, and I'm so tired of it. you know, for people to say, well, this is, you know, the shutdown's going to hurt the party. You know, they said this back in 2012. They said it again in 2018. They've said it every election cycle that there has been an issue of budgeting and the potential threat of a shutdown. They've always said, well, this is just going to hurt Republicans. It's not going to hurt Republicans anymore. It's not going to hurt Republicans at all. Just stop the nonsense. Stop allowing these people to define the terms and set the narrative. I mean, they are the ones who decided to throw in these poison pills of billions for Ukraine and make it to where you can't get any help for Maui unless you're sending billions that we don't have to Ukraine. You can't get any assistance for any hurricane victims unless you send billions to Ukraine. We have to have genital mutilation surgeries, taxpayer funded. We have to have abortion on demand, taxpayer funded. You're not going to get anything that you need unless we get this. I mean, these are the people who are insisting that these entitlements and these other unnecessary items be funded and get money before, you know, the border, before anything else. So yeah, let it shut down then, because it's not Republicans who are doing it. Why would you not give a boost to House Republicans by saying it's not Republicans who are making demands that are stalling out momentum on these bills? During a press conference, McConnell was urging the House to act. He's like, I'm not a fan of government shutdowns. They've been a loser for Republicans. They've not been a loser for Republicans politically. Back in 2012, it was 2010 that Democrats took a shellacking, right? And it was actually 2010, they took a shellacking. 2014, it actually worked out in Republicans' favor. I remember in the Senate when it was Ted Cruz that was holding up one of these stopgap bills, that the same thing, it was McConnell and others who were saying the same thing, that this is going to tank Republicans, and it was a midterm election. You know what? It didn't. It didn't actually, because people aren't stupid. And if you think it's going to, and if you're worried that this is going to get pinned on Republicans, then be a better messenger and actually explain to the American people what's happening here. Well, it's not our problem that Democrats care more about taxpayer-funded genital mutilation surgeries and abortion as birth control and giving billions of money to Ukraine without any accountability at all whatsoever, that they prize that over military readiness, or they prize that over securing the border, or they prize that on, you know, over NDAA, et cetera, et cetera. That's the messaging you should have on this. I'm so tired of them being so damn defeatist. Just stop. I liked it better when he froze and stopped talking. I did. It's true. So they're going to try to browbeat House Republicans into this. I'm curious as to what their response is going to be with Tuberville, now that Schumer's done this. I am kind of curious. But, yeah, well, I mean, we'll see on this. There's new details on that missing F-35 mishap. They said the debris was found outside Charleston, South Carolina. It was a malfunction in which the jet's pilot ejected from the craft. So it was a malfunction that he was ejected. Why are you looking at me? Kane's like going,
That's what I was saying yesterday. So what is the mishap exactly? And the mishap to me looked like it was the person ejected, because it kept on flying fine for a while, apparently.
And they haven't confirmed what led the pilot to eject or what brought it down, but they said that it's $100 million. It's not $80 million. It's $100 million. South Carolina law enforcement chopper first located the aircraft and debris. But they said that the pilot who ejected himself was discharged from the hospital Monday afternoon. His name's not released. He doesn't have any major injuries. No civilian injuries reported either. So I guess that's kind of nerve-wracking to just be flying a jet and then you're just ejected out of it.
Exactly. And that's the vertical takeoff and landing aircraft.
You're just yeeted from the plane.
Yeah. So, yeah. And apparently there's a lot of automation on that particular aircraft as well. So
was it hacked?
Exactly. Ooh. That's what I want to know.
Was it hacked and then we took it down surreptitiously? Mm. I just, you know, just saying. They had, a two-day stand down. That's basic safety order for United States Marine Corps aircraft, which is kind of, you know, the way I understand it is typical if there's any kind. Although this is a little unusual because it involved a missing $100 million jet. Can I just point out, and this might be a little bit more than 30,000 feet, but I was thinking about this. You have the president of the United States. When I was putting together headlines for today, and I was reading about, you know, for instance, the little gun control group thing that he's putting together, and they're announcing Friday in the Rose Garden. You have the president creating a gun violence task force. And they want to lecture you about what they feel you are responsible enough to own. But I really don't think I'm going to take lectures on what I can own and what I can't as it relates to guns from a government that lost a $100 million stealth jet. Just saying. I don't think I'm going to take any lectures on that. I mean, it's a $100 million stealth jet. You just lose. Finders keepers, though, right? So I guess they got to fish all that out of the water if it crashed. They got to get it all out. You don't want anybody getting it and reverse engineering anything. They said that everybody's just speculating as to what it is, but the Marine Corps hasn't said whether or not the transponder was malfunctioning because apparently it was not working. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of questions here. I find it difficult to believe that the jet stopped working. Do you think it was hacked?
Well, I know that there were previous reports of the F-35 being able to be hacked. I thought they had fixed that issue, but I think it's in the realm of possibility.
I feel like they need to be honest with us about that. Like, was it hacked? And if so, does that mean all of the other ones are going to be, you know, that's going to, do they all stand to have that happen as well? I don't know. I want to play this McConnell audio here real quick, Kane, that you dropped in. This is him talking about potential the shutdown. Listen to this, because because we have 11 days now. Listen.
Waiting to see what the House is going to do on a continuing resolution. I think all of you know I'm not a fan of government shutdowns. I've seen a few of them over the years. They never have produced a policy change. And they've always been a loser for Republicans politically.
What about when Democrats were putting the barriers in front of parks and roadside areas? Remember all that? I mean, what about that? That was a major loser for Democrats. I guess no concern about that. I don't know. I just think they need to stop worrying about it, and they need to develop better messaging, honestly. They need to develop way better messaging, and they need to stop the fighting in the House and allow some of the stuff that was going on during this hearing to be able to take center stage. Yeah, they say, oh, it's failure of Republican discipline. Why don't you talk about failure of Democrats just to be good stewards of taxpayer dollars? I mean, that's good heavens. In the meantime, I mentioned a little earlier how California has some of the highest gas prices. I've found Newsom passed this bill to stop big oil price gouging at the pump, and they signed it into law. And since then, gas prices have risen a dollar. The highest gas tax in the nation. I don't know if it contributed to that or not. I'm not sure.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know the staff is going crazy. We're supposed to ask the press to leave a long time ago. But I want to say one more thing. Our Secretary of Treasury pointed out, the Treasury Department did a significant report and pointed out that, and this is a fact, when organized labor is engaged and involved, everyone does better.
What was that? I can't even talk. I mean, who was the guy that like coughed a lung up right there? Now here's the thing. Oh gosh, it was like golems in the back there. Holy cow, I thought I was about to hear somebody ask about the precious. That was not. We got an ice hockey. What did Juan say? He's like, that's like not COVID.
Yeah,
that's whatever.
That's virus.
That's a whole other virus.
That's not COVID.
Oh, man. That was, I didn't even know what he said. All I heard was like, let me tell you something. Oh, man. You know how like sometimes somebody hacks so hard, you're just like, that hurts me. I'm hurt. That's like, it bothers you. It's like, it's the same thing. What was he talking about there? Wait, what's the point of us playing that? I got distracted by the hackening. What was that?
We can hear that last part. It'll still have the hack in there.
Okay, this is, right. We'll try to get over it.
And pointed out that, and this is a fact, when organized labor is engaged and involved, everyone does better.
First it was getting, you know, the press out of the room, but he's going to say that one last thing.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. Man, they need to wipe that whole staff down with like Clorox wipes. Oh wait, you can't because they had a hack. They got hacked, remember? And now I don't have an issue with supply. All right, so this a couple of things. I wanted to pull this. Lorraine found this earlier. It seems like Senate Republicans are going to use this tactic to force a vote on the stalled Marine Corps nomination. They're looking to break the gridlock because Democrats are like, gosh, it's very important to us to have, you know, abortionist birth control, having all that funded before we actually have military readiness. And so it looks like they're going to force this procedural vote. What they're saying is CNN says it's a breach of Senate protocol. So they're going to try to force this procedural vote and about concerns of, you know, there's concerns that they're using this tactic. They say it's rare and that they're going to people say it's going to make the Senate even more difficult to manage. You know what makes things difficult to manage? Slipping poison pills into previously completely non-controversial things. That's what makes it difficult. So I'm all for that. Maybe they are trying to do this. Maybe they are. We'll see. We'll see. Apparently, Dan Sullivan was about to use this process to force a vote on these nominees before August recess. But apparently, McConnell talked him out of it at the time. But we'll see how it goes. But the process, he has to collect 16 signatures on a petition. This is via CNN that reported on this. And then he could file a petition to set up a procedural vote that would require 51 votes to succeed. And John Thune thinks that Tuberville has enough support to force the vote. So it's a little bit an end run around the normal protocol, and it's going to make Democrats mad. But maybe that's what, you know, we'll watch and see. But that could be what it is, but without them having to approve all that other spending. So that would, you know, that could work. That could work. We'll see. And then they can stop acting like this is something that they're doing instead of something that's being done to not just them, but to taxpayers by Democrats. All right. Today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. Of all the things going on in the Hill right, you know, today, the oversight hearing and all that, Pete Buttigieg was also in front of some oversight. And they were asking him about the drones that the U.S. uses to inspect national infrastructure. So this is what he was asked. Listen to his answer, too.
The FAA still uses drones made by Chinese companies, allowing them to inspect the FAA's national infrastructure. And so my question is very direct. Can you commit to reviewing this matter and ensuring that federal taxpayer dollars are not used to fund the operation of these Chinese drones?
We have my commitment that we will put American security first and ensure that there are no vulnerabilities.
He's still going to use the Chinese drones. He's just going to tell us all, and we'll believe him, that there's
really?
No vulnerabilities, right?
That's right. That's our transportation secretary, not knowing anything about transportation. All right, folks, that does it for us tonight. Sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, over at Substack. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.